Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's going on, everybody? It is August 20th on a gorgeous Tuesday out here at Yulman Stadium, ready for a Saints open practice. The fans, folks are filling in as gates have opened at 6 o'clock. Steve Geller, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Also, Mike Haas will be joining us as well as sideline reporter Jeff Nowak on this big broadcast we're going to be bringing to you from WWL. Flag at half mast today, guys, in honor of the late Ed Daniels, passed away recently. So the flag are flying at half mast today. We'll also be honoring him at the Superdome. There'll be a moment of silence before the game on Sunday.
Yeah, they have the visitation and the funeral arrangements on
tomorrow,
Thursday.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's tomorrow.
No, I thought it was Thursday.
My days are all messed up.
Preaching to the choir. But also, Thursday night, the Caesars Superdome will be lit all white for Ed.
Okay.
And so there's the Thursday services. There's at Rockin' Bowl, there's a celebration of his life at 3 to 5. And then on Saturday, there's a fundraiser from 10 to 12 at Lamarck, Ford, and Kenner. Because even though the Bensons were huge help in that process of getting him back to New Orleans, it's still 22 days in a hospital. So
right.
Anyway, anything that anybody can do over the next few days, moment of silence, flags, celebration of life, and then, the fundraiser and the Superdome being white. And he deserves that and more.
Well, he was outstanding to me. We all know the famous him and JT, that Friday night high school show. You talk about three decades and how he established that, and he was really proud of that. Because, everyone, they would play on Friday night in Louisiana high school football. Oh, I might be on TV or something. Ed Daniels was at our game. So then, but the one thing, when I talked to Ed at the mandatory minicamp, he was so excited now that his station – Disney, ABC, was going to have the SEC. One in CVS anymore. He goes, "Oh, Bob, we have big plans. I'm all excited, for that." And obviously covering the Saints and pro football. So he was all in. Pros, college, or high school, Ed was all in. And I know he had told me, it was kind of a work vacation when he was taking his wife out to California. And I was kind of shocked. Especially because I just turned 64 yesterday, Deuce, and he's 67. You just never know. So that's why, thank the good Lord for your health and everything and the support of your family. But Ed Daniels was one of those old school guys, like seniority. Hoss could probably remember when he first came to Louisiana and who you meet and, who you're involved with and everything. And Ed Daniels was old school. He was so old school, Deuce, He covered a game when he was in Lake Charles doing sports between McNeese State and Northwestern State. And he was telling Bobby, Bobby, there was like seven NFL players in that game. Now, if McNeese is playing Nickel State or Northwestern or Southeastern, you hope they'd have one guy.
Right.
And then there was that's when Stephen Starling went to the Patriots, Buford. It was all Duper, Delaney. It was a bunch of NFL players in that type of game in Lake Charles.
Well, when you talk about Ed and just some of the things that he did, particularly from the high school sports, he saw guys come all the way up, whether it was from the high school, college
to the pros,
and so to see the growth and to get to know them a little bit, and you talk to so many people, and he just interviewed and talked to so many local, you know, New Orleans or Louisiana people that were in the sporting world, and obviously a big shock. And, you know, you talk about thoughts and prayers, not only for he and his family, but obviously the station that so many people, you know, and just how the impact that he had on the reporting world as well, not just from a sports aspect.
And he was always under control. I mean, I seen him have conversations with Jim Moore, like, you know, in the early 90s and stuff. And then even he had a confrontation, probably the latest, a lot of the, sports figures are how he confronted Jameis Winston.
Right on the final play of last season.
Why the hell are you not – no, he didn't say why in the hell. See,
why didn't you listen to your coach?
Right. I would show him, but he was like even keel, just challenging him. See, I'm not a professional enough, a journalist. I'd have been like, man, I'd have went off. But Ed kept his composure and did an outstanding job with that, just sticking his guns and saying basically that was not right what you did.
Right.
And then so, and I never forget that. But Ed was always like that, you know, and he'd always call me out sometimes. He'd say, he goes, Bobby, I see, like, we were in the press box watching the game, Deuce, and he'd be, oh, now you and Jim Morris are buddies. And now he goes, oh, I remember sometimes, and you might say a few choice words to each other. And stuff. And so we would just all start laughing because Ed remembers.
I know. He told me you were a terrible soundbite.
Oh, I give the cliche answers. Oh, we got to, like, come off the ball, control the line of scrimmage. I said, because I knew what they wanted to hear. You know, so I said, go talk to Ricky.
You were trained well to deal with the media.
I said, go talk to Ricky. Ricky always have something and speak the honest truth instead of, because I always looked at his quarterback, like Derek Carr would do too. How are you going to benefit the team? You have to think of the team. You know, you're not playing golf or tennis where it's just you. You know, you have to think of how does this help the team, no matter what you're saying. So not that you're not telling the truth, but you have to just say the right thing that's going to benefit the team.
You got a little fluff in there.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then they say, like, I'm not going to talk to Avery. He always says the same thing. You know, no matter who we play.
That's good. Then they don't bother you.
Yeah, exactly. And so we need a better sound bite. You know, like, let's go talk to Joe Horn or something. You know,
he was going to tell you what he thought, and, you know, then he would go to third person. You know, right. So that was Joe Horn going to third person.
Joe knows. Joe,
what are you doing? Well, Joe thinks he's going to do this right here. Is that you talking or is that another Joe talking? It's the third person Joe.
Love it.
Well, it's great to have you guys back, Deuce and Mike. Jeff will be joining us shortly as well. I know we were complaining about how hot it's been here, and it seems like you've brought that California air with you. Definitely feeling a lot lighter this evening.
And well, it's still hot, but it's not.
The humidity isn't like a wall.
Yes, and in the morning, it's actually not that bad. And I talked to JoJo. She goes to play tennis. She goes, oh, no, it wasn't that bad. So that's the kind of measuring stick. And
well, we got the boys back. They brought it with them.
Yeah, they brought it with them. And but I don't know. People say, listen, if the Saints win or lose, there's nothing to do that they wouldn't have training camp in Irvine. You know what I mean? It's like you might say, oh, well, they needed to stay here to toughen up the team. We play inside, and we don't play outside. We play in a controlled environment.
What if they go 13-4?
Well, then you go back to Irvine.
I was going to say, right?
That's what Jim Moore did. They went to lacrosse for 9 straight years. Now, they work out at the Greenbrier. What, that lasted 3 years?
7-9, 7-9, 7-9.
Okay, enough of that. So we're not going. But no, the Saints actually went to lacrosse like 9 straight seasons. Finally said, oh, the magic's worn off. But I love it because you can wake up in the morning, it'd be Irvine type weather.
Put a sweatshirt on?
Yeah, well, no, it'd be like 66, 67 in the morning.
Yeah,
it was
nice little pullover.
Covered lacrosse.
Many, many years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I spent a year of my life, if you do like 9, 10 years for a month. I spent a year of my life in lacrosse.
Yeah. So I never seen so many. Seemed like every family had a beer joint. I think per capita.
Oh, heck yeah.
I think per capita in La Crosse, you know, Wisconsin, they have
a microbrew.
It's like 200 something, like per capita, the most bar rooms.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you call them. That I've ever seen.
They're not pubs in La Crosse. Let me say that.
bars. Right.
What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, we'll get more into some Saints talk finally, some moves the black and gold made. Charlie, you heard mention that in Sports Flash. But right now, we're going to step away. Be right back with more of our coverage from Tulane's Yeoman Stadium Saints Open Practice right here on WWL.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here on a special extended edition of Sports Talk, going to 9 o'clock tonight at Yeoman Stadium at Tulane for the open practice. Saints back in Louisiana. And guys, there are some moves made by the club today. Tight end Juwan Johnson, welcome back from the physically unable to perform list. They also signed corner Jojuwan Williams and have waived injured center Sincere Hainsworth, the former Tulane star.
Well, I don't know. I want to listen to you, Steve. You said Juwan Johnson?
Juwan Johnson off the PUP.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to hear that. So now I got you. You look at Juwan Johnson, needed foot surgery, and it was like, no, we need him.
Lots of questions in that tight end
room. Yeah, you look at the tight end room. Now, the reason why I say this, too, and he had a good game. Who's the tight end dudes from Georgia Tech when they burned the Saints, him and Derek Carr?
Darren Waller.
He retired.
Yeah.
Right. So I know Derek Carr knows how to use the tight end. And so that's why I look at, historically, he's targeted tight ends often. So Juwan Johnson should have excelled. Now, last year it was not the case. It took until week 17 for Juwan Johnson to eclipse 50 yards receiving in a game. You remember he was having an outstanding training camp?
Got banged up.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, he's not really producing for the season. He was limited to 20 or more yards in 6 of the 13 games he played. So this needs to be a bounce-back year for Juwan Johnson. You know, they rewarded him going from wide receiver to tight end. You know, gave him a few million. And honored what he did in the Saints uniform. So this is a big bounce-back season for him. Now, you look at Foster Moreau. Foster Moreau, to me, he is what he is. Then you look at Hoker. Now, is he dealing with an injury right now?
Ankle.
Yeah, warm-ups.
Yeah, right, in warm-ups.
What? What, you sprain going down the steps or somewhere? Well, you know, that's crazy. Warm-ups, oh, he's not for the game. So, Hoker, great opportunity for him. You look at Foster Moreau, you see the average down tight end. But Juwan Johnson, I think you only keep three tight ends because, I don't know, did we put Taysom Hill in that category?
Yeah. Taysom's on every position group. You go, well, we're kind of weak there. Put Taysom here.
Yeah, he can be tight end, running back, quarterback, whatever.
He's in every room.
So, Deuce, would you agree that the three tight ends we keep in are
I don't know where you put Taysom, but, I mean, he's either third tight end, fourth tight end, or whatever one you put. But he's one of the tight ends.
So wouldn't you be surprised? I think Hoker makes his team.
No, Hoker makes his team.
Yeah, and then you got Foster Moreau and now Juwan coming back.
Correct.
So we just need more production, and I think Derek Carr, I think this will help him with this the scheme we'll be doing, kind of like with Purdy and Kittle and all that. So now I'm not saying you got to be the second coming of Kittle like with the 49ers, but no, great opportunity for Juwan Johnson coming back, and hopefully he's ready to roll because before you know it, the season's here.
Well, he's done a lot more when you talk about doing some stuff out in California, you know, every practice.
With the rehab and stuff?
Yeah, with rehab. I mean, not even rehab, but just out on the field.
Okay.
So every day he would do a little bit more, and, you know, to the point where he was running cleats, helmet. You'd always see him on the jug as well after practice, you know, and that's just why we're there. That's not even counting the rehab stuff that he did with the trainers and everything. That's after practice. I don't want to say on his own because obviously they've signed off on it, so they felt good enough. And I would be surprised if he got any work Sunday. He may want, you know, five or ten plays.
Okay.
Something most at most, but at the end of the day, they want to make sure that he's ready to go because I agree with you. He is a big part of what they're trying to do from an offensive standpoint, and they've got to have somebody else to be able to take some of that pressure off of Olave and Alvin, and even with Taysom in the mix, you've got to have another player or two step up to give you a little juice on that offense.
Now, Deuce, when you look at Hoker or Hoss, you can chime in on this since y'all watch them. Are you disappointed about what you thought he would be? Because we all clearly, this is OTAs and minicamp, we knew about his receiving ability, which was displayed in the offseason. But did he turn into a trusted blocker or a serviceable blocker at times? Well, what y'all take? Well,
I mean, I think he's a serviceable blocker. I don't know if you'd go so far as trusted. It's all going to be what are you using him for.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to use him 15 times a game as a lead blocker.
Right.
I'm setting the edge. He's got to set the edge.
Oh, okay.
He's got to be able to set the edge. And so things of that nature, he's got to be able to set the edge, and he's got to be able to cut off a lot of what they do as far as San Francisco in this offense, and you've seen it in practice as well as being able to run split zone. That tight end comes across, and he's cutting the backside or the defensive end man on the line of scrimmage. He can do that well. I am using him some on lead stuff. I mean, because from a personnel standpoint, and there's all this fuss about, well, Taysom lined up here. Lining up, the biggest difference that you're going to get is when he's at quarterback, he gets an extra blocker.
Right.
On QB run, he gets an extra blocker. When he's at fullback, he's at tailback, he doesn't have an extra blocker. Because the quarterback is handing the ball off to him.
And the quarterback just watched.
But the angle changes, but it doesn't really change. The only thing that changes is the depth that you start at.
I mean,
because now I may get the ball at 6 yards, where I'm at quarterback, I get it at 7.5. I mean, and so different things of that nature, stuff like that, that plays to his advantage. Here's the other part, though. Defensively, what are you playing? Are you going to play me 4-3, or are you going to play me nickel? And so, with the quarterback staying on the field, the defense still has to declare how they're going to play him. That doesn't change where Taysom can line up. That doesn't change who I can put in the game with Taysom. So, I can still have Alvin in the game with Taysom, and I can have Hoker in the game with Taysom. You still call that 12, or are you going to call it 21?
Right.
I mean, and so, from a game planning standpoint, that's what they're getting the information on. So, now I can move him from H to F to even tight end to Y or flex or whatever they label the opposite Y tight end.
You say W or whatever.
I don't know how they label it in this offense.
Right.
I mean, it may be an F.
Yeah.
In 12, it may be F. In 21, that's normally F. So what's the other?
Right.
I don't know how they label it, but I want to know what defenses. How do they play that? Are you gonna go 4-3? So if you're going to go 4-3, now I know that, hey, if Alvin is in the game, Alvin is going to have a linebacker on him, or he's going to have a safety. If he has a safety on him, Juwan, you're going to have a safety because the two corners, they're going to cover your
right,
receiver.
Right.
Or one of them's, the number one corner is going to go with Olave.
Right.
And so there's a mismatch somewhere, and it's up to the staff to be able to exploit that mismatch is
so,
what I'm saying.
I think – all what the more Taysom could do, and we're not saving him for nothing. I said we're not saving him. We're using Taysom now. I mean, he's at the point he's financially rewarded, but we're using him because we got to win. And if Taysom's a big part of helping us win, and I thought at times we didn't take advantage of this enough where, the QB power was unbelievable. Even the Patriots knew QB power was coming in the red zone, and he still couldn't stop it.
Right.
So to me, if you can still do QB power, and I know Drew Brees is a big fan of Taysom Hill, a quarterback, whatever that might be, jack of all trades, whatever you say. But Taysom Hill, a quarterback, you know what they need to do more of? And because of his running ability, do pass, let Taysom throw the ball. Like doing play action. Because if you're running the ball with Taysom, the receivers might be high school open. And then not college or NFL open, high school open, because they're so worried about Taysom Hill running the damn ball. You understand what I'm saying? Giving them more opportunities, routes that your defense can't win. Do I got to be aggressive supporting the run, or am I in coverage? Because I've seen a couple of times where, now, it was Taysom really hitting him in stride so you can get the yards after the catch. But guys being wide open because they're so worried about Taysom running the ball. So I think under Clint Kubiak, we might see more of that. giving them opportunity, trying to keep the defense off balance.
That'll be interesting. And back with Juwan Johnson, too, heading into a contract year for him, so would be behoove him to get on the field quickly.
Yes, get on the field and produce. You know, like I said, it took him till week 17 for him to eclipse 50 yards. Well, how about you eclipse? I don't even know.
Against the Panthers.
No. Or how about you? I'm not even saying you got to do it half the time, but how about you eclipse instead of waiting until week 17? How about you do that about six or seven times in the season?
Well, here's two new additions, and I don't know how much they'll be involved, but I see 41 and 20 out on the field. Both of those guys haven't. Alvin wasn't available last week, and
this Pete Warner,
this will be Pete's first participation
since he's signed.
Since his new deal.
Yeah, since his contract.
Since his new deal. So good to see both of those guys out there.
Right now you got, what is that, Jamal Williams throwing some balls into the crowd?
Yeah, well, he's been up in the stands with the crowd. He's been taking pictures up there with the fans and everything. So Jamal is enjoying himself.
He's happy
a
now
bit.
He's back home with his cats.
Right, and his daughter.
And the daughter. We won't forget
his cats,
her.
His cats and the daughter.
He'll be a different person now. Joyful.
Well, the only thing I say about Jamal Williams, you can do whatever you want with your cats. Just average 6.5 yards a carry. You can do what the hell you want.
Well, he was running mad.
Not only mad, you had some lanes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can run mad all you want, but if there's no running lanes, I don't care how mad you are.
Yeah, but dude, that's what we need. To me, get to the point where what was that 15-yard run? The whole right side of the line did their job. And I said, boy, that's how it took a coaching clinic, real. Oh, boy, look how we blocked this. And we're going north and south and had a nice 10-yard run with Taysom. So, listen, the way we structured Deuce, and you said this, I think I might be taking this from you, that and this is just the 49ers just going back to Shanahan, the daddy. They got to run. Now, I'm telling you, we have to run the ball. It's not that you're not going to have success throwing. No, they have to run to be able to run the ball, what they're trying to do.
We're going to do is step away, take a break right here on WWL, back at the Tulane Open Practice here at Yulman Stadium. Want to see how many Hoodats are coming out. The stands are filling up here, and a gorgeous night out in Louisiana. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are in an extended edition, a special event going on at Tulane's Yulman Stadium tonight, a Saints Open Practice as the Black and Gold are back home from their West Coast extended training camp session out there. After preseason game number two, made their way back home. And now got this practice this evening open for fans, and then also a Friday afternoon session at the Caesars Superdome before they get ready for the Tennessee Titans. That's a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff, a little bit different there. Not a noon start, a 1 o'clock start. Guys seen out there, we talked about Kamara, Pete Werner. Ugo Amadi is also back for the Black and Gold tonight.
Yeah, Ugo missed the game and probably a practice or two as well, and he's probably your number two slot guy number two nickel guy for you, and then got it special team wise. And I know he's been in a fight with a couple guys, you know, for making the 53-man roster.
Yeah, Deuce, he got to come back and play because he don't have that many skins on the wall. That's interesting that you bring it up.
Who would you bump him for?
I heard maybe not. No, this just according to the Advocate Picayune.
But who would you bump him for?
They said Shamar Jones-Charles. That might end up making that 53-man versus him. I don't know. Y'all, what do y'all think? Are you high on him?
I'm high on him, but I don't see that happening. Because I don't know if he's played enough nickel. So, I mean, that's where Ugo has played primarily.
Because he's gotten a lot of reps because Lattimore and the Devo's been hurt, but has that been on the outside?
Well, Charles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Charles has on the outside. But as pure as nickel, when those other two come back, then Taylor slides in as your nickel. I mean, who would you go? Would you go with the rookie at nickel?
Kool-Aid?
Would you go with Kool-Aid as your number two nickel?
I don't know, because to me,
you wouldn't do that.
No, because I think Ugo, when he had the opportunity, he plays.
He made some plays for him.
Right. So
I mean, from a pure nickel standpoint, it makes that would be a gamble for me. I mean, because.
So, Deuce, you think Ugo right now, where he's at, to provide depth, and, you know, the more you could do, that Sunday, if he's ready to, because if he's healthy, if he's ready to play, he probably plays, I don't know, the whole game, but two or three quarters or something come Sunday? No?
Probably two quarters. I don't know about the whole game.
Okay.
I don't know about the whole game. I don't know, even know if he fully goes two quarters at nickel as well, though. I mean, he's done a good job as a backup nickel and somebody that I know they can depend on from that spot. And then you talk about special teams as one of your up backs, and then also probably, you know, what's going to help a player like he is the return rules.
Okay.
And so he's a guy that you can stick back there just a fair catch.
Right.
On punts. And another guy that they've used like that is Cedric Wilson. You know, another guy that they can use like that. And Cedric had a lot of work. It was unfortunate because the rule is, and how you're taught, it's not 10 yards anymore. It's 8 yards. And if it's over your head at eight, if you have to take one step back, let it go.
It used to be 10. Now it's 8.
Yeah, because the kickers have gotten so good. And every time, and Mike, you commented on it, every time he would put it at the 5 or the 4, and it would hit and spin right back. If you go back and look at the game, there was one time where he's almost going to catch it, but then the rusher was all the way down there. I mean, because he saw it hit, and then it's spinning back to him at about probably the 7 or 8 where he can catch it off the hop and you know, at least get some yards out of it. But he didn't, and this is Cedric. I mean, he didn't do it, but, I mean, every time it would hit and it would come draw right back.
Well, y'all watching this, and I'm thinking, like, man, this is one of the few games we talk about flipping the field and field position. Well, the 49ers are kicking our butt.
You got to hand it to it.
It was their backup. He's the guy fighting for the – not their starting punter.
He was putting his behind off.
They started at the 4, yeah, the 5, and the 6. And, you know, Deuce is right. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the odds – you know, you can – punt all day, and to make it back up like that, 3 consecutive punts. No,
that's why the punters are just getting
better. They are a skilled group, and when you talk about, you're just not punting for the 49ers. You're punting for 31.
Oh, heck yeah.
You're punting for 31 other teams. I mean, until they see it as well. Even though they, I mean, those special team coaches, they go back. Wait, where was the starting field position? You know, yeah, they want to look at what net is, but at the end of the day, where was the starting field position?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you were able to do what? And so when you can do that, you help yourself.
Now, what do y'all think? Because, you know, we were number one coverage units. We gave up 5.5 yards of return and punt. I thought this was maybe Lou Headley's poorest game.
Worst game.
That I've seen him punt, whether it's a regular season.
I'm just going preseason. I'm not going regular season, because there were some games last year. It was like, man, you're scratching your head. But he had gotten a lot better, and it's not just an end-over-end rugby-style kick. It's actually a hang
spiral,
time. It's actually a hang time. It's actually spiral. I mean, it's Lou getting his bag as well. But, I mean, if I'm today having to pick, I pick the veterans, the two veterans.
Haley over Hayball, and you're going with Groupie.
And it's probably because I know they've kicked in an NFL game.
In real game.
It's not because, this guy's so much more talented.
I got you. Yeah, who are you going to try when the game counts?
Correct. But it is that close.
Yeah.
It is that close.
And when you look at leg strength, Smith's leg strength is stronger than Groupie.
I don't know if it's stronger, but it wouldn't be – there's not a 10-yard, you know. Both of those guys can whip it pretty good.
And, you know, Deuce, you're talking about the net. And if you look at an open field, yes, the net, you don't look at the gross. But whether you're inside the 10, that's what you got to really look at it, directional punting. But this is how bad Headley was, how poor he was. This wasn't the net, and this is not even a good net. His gross was 38.7. Yeah. That needs to be, like, by 42 net. And then you look at, like, Hayball's gross was 48. So 10 yards further, but – when I looked at that, and he had a touchback. No, I said, Headley, boy, he's not a good day at the office.
Rough day. He gets what I would call a between. Like, if he's deep, you know he's got to kick it hard. He's got to kick the old school high. And if he's at his own 45 or 40, he knows he's doing the Lou Headley special. It's when he's kind of in between. And he pulls him. Like, at one point, he just flat pulled it. And
would it be like a shank, a pull?
I don't know. Yeah, he came over top of it and just kind of pulled it left. And I think he's just kind of in that, well, what am I doing? Am I doing the Headley special, or am I, you know, kind of trying to flip the field? But we're looking at the game in the first game, you know, so Headley kicked it 4 punts, his average was 46.8. So his net was 41.8.
That's good.
And Hayball's average was 53. So almost 8 yards more than Headley, but his net was 35.
That's terrible.
Your net and your average can't be almost 20 yards
no,
apart.
No. Right? That's so terrible.
You know, as we do said on the broadcast, he outkicked his coverage.
I remember Marstead telling me that he educated me about punting, and he was telling me about Bobby. You can boom it and all that. I'm telling you, it's all everyone working together. Look at the net. Yeah. And that's when you consider, boy, and if you're averaging 42, 43 net, man, you make every NFL team.
We hear the music playing means we're going to step away, take a break, getting closer to the 7 o'clock hour, which means they're actually going to take the field and start practicing right now. Guys are still warming up here at Tulane-Juelman Stadium for the Saints Open practice. We'll be right back with more right here on WWL after this. Back here on Sports Talk, our extended edition till 9 o'clock as the Saints are back, and we are back covering them for an open practice. Fan, welcome back into Sports Talk. We are in an extended edition, a special event going on at Tulane-Juelman Stadium tonight, a Saints open practice as the Black and Gold are back home from their West Coast extended training camp session out there after preseason game number 2 made their way back home. And now got this practice this evening open for fans, and then also a Friday afternoon session at the Caesars Superdome before they get ready for the Tennessee Titans. That's a Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff, a little bit different there. Not a noon start, a 1 o'clock start. Guys seen out there, we talked about Kamara, Pete Werner. Ugo Amadi is also back for the Black and Gold tonight.
Yeah, Ugo missed the game and probably a practice or two as well, and he's probably your number two slot guy as
the
far
nickel,
as
yeah.
Well, the number two nickel guy for you, and then got it special team wise, and I know he's been in a battle, a fight with a couple guys, you know, for making the 53 man roster.
Yeah, Deuce, he got to come back and play because he don't have that many skins on the wall. So that's interesting that you bring it up.
Who would you bump him for?
I heard maybe not. No, this just according to the Advocate Picayune.
But who would you bump him for?
They said Shamar Jean-Charles. That might end up making that 53-man versus him. I don't know. Y'all, what do y'all think? I mean, are you high on him?
I'm high on him, but I don't see that happening. Because I don't know if he's played enough nickel. So, I mean, that's where Ugo has played primarily.
Because he's gotten a lot of reps because Lattimore and the Devo's been hurt, but has that been on the outside?
Well, Charles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Charles has on the outside. But as pure as nickel, when those other two come back, then Taylor slides in as your nickel. I mean, who would you go? Would you go with the rookie at nickel?
Kool-Aid? Would you
go with Kool-Aid as your number two nickel?
I don't know, because to me,
you wouldn't do that.
No, because I think Ugo, when he had the opportunity, he plays.
He made some plays for him.
Right. So yeah.
I mean, from a pure nickel standpoint, it makes that would be a gamble for me. That would be a gamble for me. I mean, because.
So, Deuce, you think Ugo right now, where he's at, to provide depth, and you know, the more you could do that Sunday, if he's ready to, because if he's healthy, if he's ready to play, he probably plays, I don't know, the whole game, but two or three quarters or something come Sunday. No,
that probably put Ugo. Yeah, probably two quarters. I don't know about the whole game.
Okay.
I don't know about the whole game. I don't even know if he fully goes two quarters at nickel as well, though. I mean. He's done a good job as a backup nickel and somebody that I know they can depend on from that spot. And then you talk about special teams as one of your up backs, and then also probably, you know, what's going to help a player like he is the return rules.
Okay.
And so he's a guy that you can stick back there just a fair catch.
Right.
On punts. And another guy that they've used like that is Cedric Wilson. You know, another guy that they can use like that. And Cedric had a lot of work.
You look against the 49ers.
Well, no, but it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate because the rule is, and how you're taught, it's not 10 yards anymore. It's 8 yards. And if it's over your head at 8, if you have to take one step back, let it go.
Let it go. It used to be 10, now it's 8.
Because the kickers have gotten so good. And every time, and Mike, you commented on it, every time he would put it at the 5 or the 4, and it would hit and spin right back. If you go back and look at the game, there was one time where he's almost going to catch it. But then the rusher was all the way down there. I mean, because he saw it hit, and then it spinning back to him at about probably the 7 or 8 where he can catch it off the hop. and you know, at least get some yards out of it, but he didn't. And this is Cedric. I mean, he didn't do it, but I mean, every time it would hit and it would come draw right back.
Well, y'all watching this, and I'm thinking, like, man, this is one of the few games we talk about flipping the field and field position. Well, the 49ers are kicking our butt.
It was
their backup. He's the guy fighting for the not their starting punter.
He was putting his behind off.
They started at the 4, the 5, and the 6. And, you know, Deuce is right. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the odds, you know, you can punt all day. And to make it back up like that, 3 consecutive punts. No,
that's why, the punters are just getting
Better. They are a skilled group. And when you talk about, you're just not punting for the 49ers. You're punting for 31. You're punting for 31 other teams. I mean, until they see it as well. Even though those special team coaches, they go back. Wait, where was the starting field position? You know, they want to look at what net is, but at the end of the day, where was the starting field position?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you were able to do what? And so when you can do that, you help yourself.
Now, what do y'all think? Because, you know, we were number one coverage units. We gave up 5.5 yards of return and punt. I thought this was maybe Lou Headley's poorest game.
Worst game.
That I've seen him punt, whether it's a regular season.
I'm just going preseason. I'm not going regular season, because there were some games last year. It was like, man, you're scratching your head. But he had gotten a lot better, and it's not just an end-over-end rugby-style kick. It's actually a hang
spiral,
time. Actually a hang time. It's actually spiral. I mean, it's Lou getting his bag as well. But, I mean, if I'm today having to pick, I pick the veterans, the two veterans.
Haley over Hayball, and you're going with Groupie.
And it's probably because I know they've kicked in an NFL game.
In real game.
It's not because, this guy's so much more talented.
I got you. Yeah, who are you going to try when the game counts?
Correct. But it is that close.
It
is that close.
And when you look at leg strength, Smith's leg strength is stronger than Groupie.
I don't know if it's stronger, but it wouldn't be there's not a 10-yard, you know. Both of those guys can whip it pretty good.
And you know, Deuce, you're talking about the net, and if you look at an open field, yes, the net, you don't look at the gross, but whether you're inside the 10, that's, you got to really look at it. Directional punting. But this is how bad Headley was, how poor he was. This wasn't the net, and this is not even a good net. His gross was 38.7. Yeah. That needs to be like by 42 net. And then you look at like Hayball's gross was 48, so 10 yards further. But when I looked at that, and he had a touchback. No, I said, Headley, boy, he's not a good day at the office.
Rough day. He gets what I would call a between. Like, if he's deep, you know he's got to kick it hard. He's got to kick the old school high. And if he's at his own 45 or 40, he knows he's doing the Lou Headley special. It's when he's kind of in between. And he pulls him. Like, at one point, he just flat pulled it. And
would it be like a shank, a pull?
I don't know. Yeah, he came over top of it and just kind of pulled it left. And I think he's just kind of in that, well, what am I doing? Am I doing the Headley special, or am I, you know, kind of trying to flip the field? But look at the game in the first game, you know. So Headley kicked it 4 punts. His average was 46.8. So his net was 41.8.
That's good.
And Hayball's average was 53. So almost 8 yards more than Headley, but his net was 35.
That's terrible.
Your net and your average can't be almost 20 yards.
No. Right? That's terrible.
You know, as we do said on the broadcast, outkicked his coverage.
I remember Marstead telling me that he educated me about punting, and he was telling me about Bobby. You can boom it and all that. I'm telling you, it's all everyone working together. Look at the net. Yeah. And that's when you consider, boy, and if you're averaging 42, 43 net, man, you make every NFL team.
We hear the music playing, means we're going to step away, take a break, getting closer to the 7 o'clock hour, which means they're actually going to take the field and start practicing right now. Guys are still warming up here at Tulane Juelman Stadium for the Saints Open practice. We'll be right back with more right here on WWL after this. Back here on Sports Talk, our extended edition till 9 o'clock as the Saints are back, and we are back covering them for an open practice. Fans filling in here till Juelman Stadium. I know there's a bit of, you know, traffic issues going on trying to get here, and even parking's been a little bit of a nightmare right now. But we've talked about some of the guys we've seen back already. Looking like, too, that Paulson Adebo, number 29, will be practicing this today.
Well, you know, Deuce might be able to tell the difference to this. I never had, like, an extreme groin pull, but a hip flexor. And I know how, you know, you got to be able to run. So I know whether it's Lattimore or Paulson Adebo, you're messing with your groin hip flexor. It's not like, oh, you got to run through that. It's gonna get, no, it's not going to get better.
Rest.
Yeah, right.
I mean, rest is the only thing that gets it better. I mean, you can do some of the some different stretching techniques and different things of that nature, but it's going to be rest and ice and stretch. That's really all you can do for it.
Yeah, it's not like if you have a bad turf toe, or just play through it. No, then your turf toe will be hurting the whole season. So there's certain injuries, you know, you just have to have luck with injuries, and hopefully that's the case. And you know, when you look at it. But it's part of the game. Like, we're getting ready to go against the 49ers, and we're all excited about the joint practices. And now they played we had a dozen people hurt.
At least.
Well, they had two dozen. You know, we were at 12, 13. They were at 24. So that's why, and there's no excuses. Be ready to play week one. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the Titans and you know, because I always view the Titans as a type team that, maybe because I got Derrick Henry on the brain, even though he's with the Ravens now, that they want to win in the trenches.
Right, tough, hard-hitting squad.
You know,
squad.
Like Will Levis, you don't view him as, oh, man, they're going to throw the ball everywhere. It seems like that they would want to do maybe what we're trying to do, too. Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? Now, I know it's just a preseason game, but it's seeing that type of attitude. Now, they might be different. Vrabel's not there anymore.
Right.
How do Titans? How
it's Callahan,
play?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So how are they? What is their concepts? But yeah, Carolina's gonna be here before you know it. But I think the Titans is good for the trenches because it seems like they're always have been pretty stout in the trenches when they were winning. You know, winning the AFC South or competing to represent. They've kind of underachieved because, you know, at times it's not that long ago. The Titans would be the number one seed, and they would choke in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't get it done.
Interesting to see year two for a former Tulane star over there, and Tajay Spears, and what
yeah,
he can do.
Yeah, no, and Mike and I, we on the last night on the second guest, we had their play-by-play guy.
Right, Mike
Keith. And Mike, and Noah, and they counting on him.
You let
Spears,
Derrick Henry go.
They got the 1-2 punch they got from Dallas.
Pollard.
Yeah, Pollard. Yeah, so they know he's they're counting on him a lot. It's not like, oh, well, you know, he'll be just, you know, he'll be one of the backs they're counting on.
Stay tuned, folks. We're going to head to the top of the hour news break, and starting soon, Saints practicing here at Tulane's Yulman Stadium. We'll be bringing it to you till 9 o'clock this evening. I'll be back with more right after this, so stay locked in on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat?